The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are here at Gillette Stadium on a Tuesday. OTAs are in full swing. We'll talk about that and other Patriots news for the next 2 hours here in PFW in Progress, 12 to 2. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And that opening just reminded me, there's a hysterical video clip going around on the internet from the Jimmy Fallon show where Will Farrell does a drum off with the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And first of all, they look exactly like Will Farrell and this guy. I mean, they're identical. And then it turns out Will Farrell can play the drums. He's really good.
Really?
So I would look that up, Will Farrell drum off or whatever. And
he looks like the guy.
They look identical, so they dressed up the same and everything just to play that up. It was really funny.
Wow.
And Will Farrell can play the drums. He's really good. So if you have free 6 minutes, I think it was, that's how long it was. Go look.
I think
that
I could
up.
Squeeze a free six yeah. minutes into the afternoon.
Well, it was the Jimmy Fallon show. They did it on that show. So
all right.
Anyway, so we're here talking Patriots with Eric and Paul and me and Kevin in the booth. Andy's still not back from his Disney World adventure, but I think he'll be back by Thursday. So we'll get the lowdown.
Maybe he'll get us on Thursday, like yeah. Patrick Chung.
We'll get the lowdown and everything that's bad about Disney World on Thursday.
I know what's good about Disney World from what he has,
left.
Well, no, because that's bad for us.
Oh. I mean.
But that kitchen sink Sunday that he was talking about before he left. Yeah, they finished it.
Yeah, I like.
Have
it.
You seen that? Friend?
I didn't come close to finishing it, but I did not.
What is it?
It's a sink. It's literally in a sink, yeah. like a you know. Or a dish that's made to look like a sink anyway.
Yeah.
And they have, there's a list of about three or four dozen things that are in this sundae.
Oh,
toppings.
It's a sundae.
It's a sundae.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He likes that kind of over-the-top food idea.
Oh, yeah. And I told him before he left that he should, because he really wanted to have it. He's like, but I don't know if we're going to finish it. I'm like, you should tell the kids one night, this is what we're having for dinner. Get them all excited all day about it, and then
ice cream.
Yeah, you know, ice cream for dinner, and then have the whole family eat it. And I guess that's what they did because he showed a picture of a spoon in an empty bowl, and you could tell that there was stuff
huge.
In there before. It's enormous, and okay. There's all kinds of really good.
Which
stuff
tells me that when Andy's 50 years old, he's going to weigh 300 pounds because he can't help himself. You know,
yeah.
And he won't be able to exercise the way he exercises now.
No,
you know.
That's what I've been hoping for.
By the way, Bobby writes in, he says, Will Farrell wasn't really playing the drums in the segment. He did a great job miming it, though. I don't think so. If he was miming, that was amazing because he was right with everything. So he should try playing the drums.
Was it like a game of horse where like
yes.
one drummer would do
yeah.
one and he'd have to mimic
yeah.
it?
And he, I think
he wasn't
he was really
doing
playing.
It? Oh.
Yeah.
I know they have Jimmy Fallon, I saw. I haven't watched the show live at all, but I've seen a lot of clips of different things. He has that lip syncing challenge that he does. Yeah. Some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, no, he's Jimmy Fallon's. He's stealing that time segment. I think he's running away with it. So
good. Well, it's going to be his, right? I mean, basically,
yeah.
Everybody else is gone, right?
Well, because he's going up against Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, that's true. That's yeah. right. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Capella.
And Conan O'Brien, which no I don't count watches. Him. But anyway. All right. I think the really the only and the big news is the Peter King interview with Tom Brady. Not a lot of big news, but, you know, Paul, you listened to it. I listened to it. You wrote down some notes. I think, to me, the most meaningful thing was...
Printed them out.
And Albert Breer kind of pointed it out this morning, and I kind of agree that he plans on sticking around football after
yeah,
he's done. Which...
I didn't take as much into that quote as Albert Breer or you evidently did.
Okay.
I didn't think that. I mean, I can read the quote and we
sure.
let everybody make their own determinations. He says, I'm wanting to play multiple years. There's nothing, this is a quote from Brady, there's nothing that can wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday in May like getting ready for a day of football. I want to play for a long time. There's nothing I like to do that's close to football. What I'll do when I'm done playing, I don't know, but I know it won't be nearly as fun. I can tell you neither me nor Peyton, obviously Manning, will probably be far from the game of football when we're done. I didn't necessarily think of that in terms of, oh, he's going to be in football when it's over. I just kind of think he's explaining to you how much he enjoys football, and he still enjoys football.
But before that quote, if someone said, well, what do you think Brady will do when he's done? Will he stick around football? I would say no. He'll probably leave the game behind.
See, I think that's what he'll do.
But he just said he wouldn't.
Yeah, I think he's telling you how much he likes to play football.
I mean, no, but he said no matter what I do,
I think he's going to do something outside of
football.
That. Yeah, and I think his definition of far from football and yours might not be the same thing.
Okay.
I think he loves to play football.
I mean, it could be
football.
With his kids, Pop
Warner. That's perfect. That's exactly the way he's going to do something that's going to have him around football, but not necessarily
imagine.
Like John Elway.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to coach.
I could see him.
I can't imagine he's going to be an executive.
I could see him starting his own consulting company for players, for like sponsorship.
I could see something like that even. Yeah, with Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest hockey player of them all turns out to be a great advisor, agent type. I mean, not that Brady would be an agent, but
not an agent, but
consultant, kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I could see that,
all right.
And I could see him being connected to the game in some way like that.
Yeah.
Just not on a daily.
Not
basis.
Not on a daily
still
basis.
Still not.
No.
And I think that what he's, I don't know. This like, again,
and even Elway.
I'd be curious to see what everybody else thinks, but I took it as just he's telling you how much he enjoys playing football.
Yeah,
still.
I kinda,
at almost the age of 37, he still loves everything about it.
I'm kind of with you, Paul. I didn't think – I never thought and I still don't think that he'll do anything remotely close to what Belichick does now or what Elway does. And even Elway
to me,
took a while.
Elway, to me, is the guy that –
But he took a while before he got back into football full-time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he was doing other things after he retired.
After you spend more time with your family.
Right.
And end up getting, you know, divorced and stuff and then realize they don't really like you.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree. I think he'll, you know, it could be something as simple as helping his kids with their careers or, you know, helping other players, younger players.
After listening to the interview, in terms of want his desire to play, not, no breaking news there, but does it make you think that he's going to last a little longer than you might have thought?
I think not me.
Not me. No.
You think he's going to play till he's 50.
You think he's done in 2 years.
I said you see that.
As of Thursday.
I said.
If you go back to last Tuesday, different
The question
different
was, when will we start to see a decline? And I said in about 2 years. That's what I said.
He spent the whole weekend trying to figure out how he's going to worm
out of
that.
What I said. That was my answer to that question.
His other quote that stood out to me was, you don't have to suck when you get older.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of almost like a defensive reaction.
I thought his most offensive answer.
Maybe he heard PFW in progress last week, and you know he was.
I thought his most
us,
offensive but. Answer and kind of a answer that kind of daring people was, you know, I haven't declined. Just look at the tape from the last few years. He was pretty strong about that. Mm. That he thinks his play is as good as it's ever been.
He says he feels better now than he did.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying that.
Yeah,
well, he did. He actually did say something about.
He said, "Just go and look. I've been.
Well, when did he say about anybody saying he was declining?
Well, no, they didn't say that.
I don't remember any of that.
But he didn't say that. But he did say, you know,
I've been playing as good as I have been. Just go look at the.
Well, no, I'm not sure. Well, no, I'm not sure he said it that way, Fred. I think it was more, and I'm trying to find it myself too in the stuff that I printed out here. That as far as feeling better now.
His he said
25.
His body feels better than he was 25.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was in that quote. Oh, here it is. It's very well researched, but that's for the other guys to figure out. I'm not going to give away any state secrets as far as, you know, why he feels so good now.
Right.
I'm not here to be king of the weight room. I do things to make me a better quarterback, whatever they are. Does it work? You be the one to judge. Watch me play, then draw your own conclusions.
Right. Okay, that's what he said. Right.
Yeah, I didn't take that the way you just said it.
Yeah, but watch me play. I mean, people are saying...
Well, obviously, he's still very good.
No, but
I'm not the one that wants to run him out of town. That's you.
But people are saying, oh, you can see a decline now, and he's saying, no, watch me play.
Well, see, I don't think he's saying that.
Yeah. He's saying that he's still...
That's not what he said.
Yeah, the fact that he's feeling good and able to play...
What he's saying is...
He's still playing at a high level.
He's saying...
It doesn't mean he's playing at the highest level he's ever played.
He's saying, use my play as a judge on whether or not...
He's playing well.
Right. Right.
And he is playing well.
That's not the highest.
And there are some people who say that, you know, he's declined and he doesn't agree.
But that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
You're putting all this decline stuff in here. That's not part of the body of the
story. Why would you talk about that stuff unless people are questioning it?
Well, because he was asked.
All he's saying
is. Or doubting.
He was asked.
Right.
And said that he feels better now than he did then.
The whole premise of
this is all about whether or not he can still play into his late 30s. That's all. And he's talking about how well.
You know, how well you can play at this age. And he said, just look at me.
Well, he's talking about how well conditioned he is. That's what the jumping off point of this is.
Yeah.
His body feels as good now as it did when
better now
than it did when he was 25.
And he said he wasn't going to get into why that.
Well, that's the issue for a guy getting older is the body starts breaking down, not the mind. And if you can keep the body up, then theoretically you can keep up your level of play.
But he's not saying he's playing better.
I didn't say better. I said as good.
But here's the thing.
Then why do you want him out of town in 2 years?
I don't.
You do.
No, I don't. No. See, Paul, you're mistaking me, what I want and what might happen. I agree with somebody said, you know, Brady's hoping that the Garoppolo pick is a waste. I hope so, too. But I think as an owner of a team, as a GM of a team, I have to be prepared for the event.
See, why would you hope that?
Because I hope Brady keeps playing.
And but he can't possibly play as long as Garoppolo could play if the pick is not a waste.
No, but in 4 years, and I can maybe if Garoppolo shows more than, you know, Mallett has in preseason, I can turn that into picks and start over again and look for another guy, you know?
How?
By drafting him.
How? What are you going to turn into picks?
Garoppolo.
How?
What do you mean how?
If he doesn't play, you're not getting picks for him, Fred.
I said if he shows something in preseason, you never know what you can do, Paul. Other teams have access to our practice tapes. Maybe he does play a game or two because Brady, you know, pulls a hamstring and wins those games and his value goes up. You never know.
Well, if he plays, that's different.
But then
I would rather have him play for me.
There's a lot of scenarios that could still make the Garoppolo pick a good one, even though Brady keeps playing.
But what Peter King actually says in here, is that Brady wouldn't say it. But that he hopes that the pick is a waste.
Right.
So that's not all the stuff that you talked about. And, you know, he gets the chance to play and wins a game if Brady is out for a game, or you end up turning Garoppolo into picks. That's not a waste. That's not a wasted pick.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but Brady's saying, I hope it's a waste. And you said, I hope it's a waste, too. And I'm like, if you're a Patriots fan, why would you hope it's a waste? You hope it pans out.
In terms of him not ever playing,
what you hope
is
you can make a seamless transition from greatness to greatness. That's what
I know what Peter King is saying, and I agree with that.
Yeah, there are people who still feel emotionally attached to Brady.
Of course.
And they don't want to let him go. So they're saying, you know, they hope it's a waste because they want to see him play
longer. I hope he can play another 4 or 5 years, but as, like I said,
as long as it's at a level.
I have to prepare for the eventuality that there is a drop off.
Now, the quote that I thought, and we haven't even touched on this one yet, was just all about the whole, you know, the behind the scenes thoughts of taking Garoppolo in the first place. And certainly Brady is not going to let you know exactly what he feels, but I think this offers a little bit of an insight as to how he has been able to maintain his greatness for as long as he has. And he says, I had a pretty good idea we'd take a quarterback. Coach Belichick doesn't care who the quarterback is here. He's always going to play the guy who he thinks gives him the best chance to win. It's not my role to choose the players here, thankfully. And this is not the first time they've taken another quarterback either. There's no entitlement in the NFL. I don't expect to be given anything. I just hope that I'm the most entitled to play that position for a long time here. And I think that offers a really good window into his mentality of never being – he always hears the great ones, Fred – always hear the doubters.
Yep.
They hear the sarcastic comment that I make about, well, as long as it wasn't the playoff game, even though we know that I'm sort of tongue-in-cheek with that.
They hear Pedro the footsteps.
Pedro Martinez would have an ERA below 2. He'd walk off the mound one game and hear one idiot saying that Pedro couldn't do something. And that's fueled him. And I think Tom still thinks of himself as the sixth round. And somewhere in here he says, that's why I was a sixth round pick in the first place. You know, having to worry about his mechanics and everything and all that. I think he still sort of thinks of himself as the guy that no one thinks they can do it.
He also said something.
And that quote to me tells me.
It does, yeah.
I'm going to stick it up, Belichick's you know what.
And everyone else.
That's what he's telling
you.
Well, not so much everybody else's. Everybody else was surprised that Belichick took a quarterback so high.
He also says something along the lines of, I can't believe a lot of the things I'm hearing.
Yeah. I like that quote from Brady.
Yeah.
That tells me. Mm. The fire is still there.
Oh, yeah.
The commitment is still there. That's the quote
I never
to
doubted
me.
That. I never doubted
that's
that the fire
quote that
the commitment
me, you know,
was
like,
there.
You know, and I think this is the seventh quarterback they've taken since Brady was the starter. Now, it's the highest one by 12 picks, higher than Mallett. But I look at Brady just saying, next.
Right.
Who's next?
Yeah. I'm sure that's what he's saying. I don't have to worry about this guy. Or because of the things I do, I don't have to worry about this guy. Yeah.
And, you know, talking about his decline earlier that we were arguing about last week.
And the numbers would back Fred, by the way. Peter King also has a table there
mm-hmm.
before the injury and after the injury. And his numbers are actually a little bit better after the injury.
Right.
So that backs you up, Freddie.
The thing is,
fair.
He is and was, and probably will continue to be, one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Mm-hmm.
A decline from one of the best ever, even if it's only incremental, you're still better than most of the other people at your job.
Right.
So the fact that we're just pointing out that we're seeing a little bit of a decline doesn't mean that he's terrible and can't play the position anymore. We're just saying we're noticing that he's not, as Paul said, you can be playing great but not playing your greatest.
Right, sure.
And I would also argue, you know, for our side, for Eric and I, the chart lists 2001 to 2007.
Well,
I think we can all agree that 2001, 2002,
he didn't really start doing
Tom
his
Brady
stuff
yet.
Until a little later. Right. So it's skewed a little bit. I agree with that. It's not fair.
But the numbers are remarkably. I mean, imagine this is just a testament to Belichick and Brady. Average wins. 2001 to 2007 and 2009 to 2013. Average wins, you know what they are? 12.3 and 12.2.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just a testament to their consistency and their greatness.
Yep. So, I think that was the story over the weekend. And, you know, my message to Tom Brady is we would have loved to do that story, and we'll promote Best Buddies for you as much as you want. We'll do it every week. You know?
I knew it was there
somewhere. We'll call it the Best Buddies Corner, and every week we'll do a sit-down with you, and we'll promote whatever you want. So here we are. Hello! it's a good event, and I'm glad, he did that. So even though there wasn't much we didn't know, I think there is some fodder for discussion there. Anything else? Who else was talking? Gronk was in Las Vegas, I see.
Not a surprise.
With his shirt off.
Not a surprise that he and Manziel have become fast friends.
Oh, was that right? I didn't read the article.
He and Manziel were in Vegas together.
Okay.
And there was photographic evidence of the two of them. And
women, watch out.
Yeah, well, they were all – that's who was surrounding them.
Oh, God. It's good to be the king, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That would be something. What else? Anything else? Any other players in the new Vince Wilfork grilling and dancing?
Yeah.
I saw that was going around.
Yeah, over the weekend, the long weekend.
With OT. What is that about, the Wilfork
they
grilling?
Bianca did a thing on Instagram and had some video of him grilling in his. He's got quite the elaborate setup for grilling.
I would imagine.
And so he was. He was shaking his booty while he was grilling.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
What'd you do for the
I went to a wedding on Sunday in Newport.
You must have been thrilled.
Very nice affair. Yesterday was brutal. I couldn't even go outside. The pollen was so bad. It was like I could feel it in my lungs. So I looked it up. Massachusetts was the worst state in the country yesterday for pollen.
Yeah, wow. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Can you smell anything with pollen?
I think so, yeah. It doesn't disable my sense of smell.
No, I mean, can you actually smell the pollen?
Oh, not really, no. No.
Okay.
Why?
You know.
You smell something?
Yeah.
Was it garbage day at the Perlow House?
It almost smells like, I don't know if it's like cat urine or something.
Oh.
And I just been thinking that, you know, I have a cat in my neighborhood who's an outdoor cat, you know, and just figuring, well, he must have, whatever.
Right.
So I ended up going to my brother's yesterday, same kind of stale smell. And then my brother-in-law, who lives in Groveland, was saying the same thing around his house. And
there's in bloom around your
area? I didn't
know
if it had something to do with maybe, you know.
Maybe the fact that it's been wet and polleny.
That could be.
But it is kind of a, it's not like a terrible smell. It's not overpowering. Or it's sort of like a faint in the background.
It was just
smell.
Awful yesterday. I mean, there was a yellow haze outside.
My car was pretty bad this morning.
Just terrible.
And I've even noticed it around my car when I stopped. And that's why I was wondering, like, the caked pollen on the hood.
And then I got all these caterpillars eating the leaves. It's just a freaking mess. Pissing me off. I'm watching all these eat up leaves dropping into the pool. And I'm just like swearing at.
I had to get a new filter, Freddie.
I'm ready to cut down every effing tree in my backyard.
Gypsy moths?
Yeah, they're small little green things that are just eat all the.
And they're dangling.
They dangle.
A little smaller like
little
inchworms?
Those little brown dots you see everywhere, that's their poop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been cleaning a lot of that off.
Who knew? I had to get a new filter, Freddie. My pump went.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I needed one anyway. 10 years.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some emails. We might as well, because we're email-driven.
Yeah, I would imagine the Brady thing probably caused some people to take notice. I did. I saw it last night.
Yeah.
We put something up on the blog about it this morning. I thought it was interesting. And just to, like I said, it's not a surprise to me to hear him talk like that. Like, I think some guys would be like, you know, whatever, you know. But I think he looks at it as something, another challenge.
Yeah.
You know, they're doubting me.
Yeah. And, you know, it'll be interesting if someday he reveals what his regimen is. I mean, he doesn't want to give away any edge that he has right now, but maybe someday when he is gone, he'll tell you what it was.
In your quote about the, not being too far away from football, I thought it was interesting they threw Peyton in.
Right.
You know, because they are very similar.
Yeah.
They just are absorbed by
the
game.
Peyton.
Consumed, I should say.
As opposed to Brady, Peyton I could see becoming a coach or a GM.
Because he has nothing else going for him.
Yeah, well,
I kind
he
of
has plenty going for
I know,
him.
I know you meant that as a shot, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that he, even more so, is just 100% football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People look at the commercials as, wow, he's not as committed. Nah.
No way.
That's just his personality.
He breathes and sleeps it.
Whereas I do think Brady has some other things that he could do, and certainly with his wife.
Yeah.
You know, there's different avenues that he could do. I don't know. Interesting to see what he ends up doing.
As you said earlier, OTAs begin today. We're not allowed to watch
until Friday.
Friday we'll be at it, yeah. But we will have some exclusive video, maybe not today, but at least on Thursday of, you know, what they're doing.
Today, Thursday, and Friday is the first of 3 weeks. And we will get you on Friday. We'll get you some updates on Patriots.com, and we'll also get you, I think, the next two Thursdays, right? Is that right?
That's correct.
June 5th and 12th.
They haven't scheduled any press conferences yet. I don't know if there will be in any of these OTAs.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't know if Bill will talk.
Coaches might become available at some point.
I wouldn't be stunned.
Yeah, because they have to be available at least once in the off season. And the off season goes up to training camp, so maybe they'll wait for the June
camp.
One. Yeah, maybe they'll wait for
the mini camp. Is the 17th to the 19th, and all 3 days we'll have access to that. So again, Fred's right. We'll have some video up on the website, and Eric, Andy, and I will take care of you with the written word.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. John from Bourne wants to talk about Brady. Hey, John.
Oh, hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I was, when I called last, I was actually the one,
who was talking about Brady and big games. I think, you know, I was the one who started listening when I broke up with my fiance. I don't know if you remember the call.
I vaguely do. Yeah, yeah.
But I think that that edge that Brady has, you know, it's not, you know, athletic. You know, it's that like mental game, like Paul you mentioned with Pedro. You know, if there's 100 people and one of them is questioning him, that's like the one person he always listens to, and I think that's what's kept him going all these years. And it was good to hear. I have a feeling he always thinks about that, but it was good to hear him say that.
Yeah, and I agree. I took the same. I had the same takeaway.
And the other thing was, you know, it's off. It's not about Brady, but I can't help but think, you know, the tight end situation. You know, we saw what it was like when Gronkowski was out there, and then when he wasn't. And you know, if we're relying on, you know, undrafted free agents who have bad hearts, or you know, what's the other guy? He was ineligible all year for college. I want to know what you think some possible upgrades are, and you know, maybe dive into that a little.
At tight end?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about Dustin Keller,
yeah.
And I think we'll probably get an answer to that sooner rather than later, because June 1st is right around the corner, and my guess is that they're probably waiting.
What happens on June 1st?
Well, someone explained to me that as a free agent, if you sign a free agent from another team after June 1st, that free agent is not susceptible to the compensatory pick process. So
it doesn't affect the
formula. So they wouldn't have to give one up.
Right, right.
You know, they would get them for the guys they signed, but they wouldn't have to give one up. So that's the only thing, because they had him in about a month and a half ago at this point. So my guess is they know if they want to sign him. They know how his medical cleared, it checked out and all that stuff. And it's a matter of figuring out if you want to make the move. My only guess, if it doesn't happen within, I would say, the first few days of June, then it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And that means nobody wants him because of whatever they found medically.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm holding out hope. I had some, because I had actually asked a question, you know, just kind of offhand to somebody, you know, when are we signing Dustin Keller? And they were like, well, you know, there's some things, that some red tape stuff that we don't necessarily think of that could be at play.
Okay.
Well, I just think it's the tight end situation. It's just all about, you know, someone said it, you know, I'm trying to think of the phrasing you guys put it as, but, you know, if Gronkowski is in there, I think it was a draft day show you were talking about, if Gronkowski's there, you know, you can compete with these teams, but if he's not there, you know, it's just that, you know, I'm looking at this year and, you know, I really love what we did on defense and, you know, some of the younger wide receivers, them stepping up, but, you know, it's just the loss of Hernandez and then, you know, Gronkowski, he's always up in the air.
Now, they definitely are a better team. Thanks, John. Definitely a better team with him than without him on the field, and particularly when they play these better defenses. He's a tough matchup. I don't care who you've got on your team for defense.
You can't take him out. The evidence is there.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
Right.
When he's in the lineup, the offense is at a different level.
Absolutely. You know, whether he's drawing coverage and making it easier for Brady to look elsewhere or doing it himself, they're just better with him. And, you know, it would be great to finally see one of those big games where he's 100% healthy.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Steve's in Killeen, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, fellas. First off, Big Kev is working out the logistics for a week's worth of lunches for me because I want to take care of you. And if Andy misses it, that's on him.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you, Steve.
Not a problem at all. My whole attitude right now is just kind of wait and see. I feel good about, you know, overall about where we sit, even with, you know, Jimmy, will he ever play Garoppolo? It's just a matter of looking at last year and kind of projecting. We went half a season without, you know, three key people off the top of my head. We didn't have Gronk, we didn't have Big Vince, and we didn't have Vollmer. My only concern is if we end up in a situation like that, and I'm going to go to New Jersey for a moment, God forbid, that that should happen. But if we end up in a situation, my concern is depth. Who could step up to kind of fill those gaps? When you look at Gronk, you look at Vince, and you look at Bass. And right now, it just kind of makes me twitch a little. I really don't know.
Well, you saw it last year.
Yeah, I mean, guys stepped up last year, and they won games. That just when they didn't have enough depth to beat a team like Denver. And, you know, if all those guys go down, and you forgot Mayo, if all those guys go down, they're going to be in trouble again, you know?
Yeah.
Particularly on defense. But, you know, right now on paper, with Revis there instead of Tlaib, I believe they're a better team. Browner, when he's able to play after week four or game four, you know, I believe he's going to be better, but we don't know. You know, we don't know how Mayo is going to be back from his injury. We don't know how Wilfork's going to be when he comes back from his injury. But they should be better, and I think they were better last year at the start of the season. Now, you know, the argument is, well, the competition wasn't that good, and they didn't really get to play a good quarterback until after these guys got hurt. But I think they were. I saw them.
Well, they played Drew Brees.
I saw this defense play against bad quarterbacks before, and they didn't look as good.
And they got lit up.
Yeah, they got lit
right.
up.
Right. So they were looking better than they had in the past against bad quarterbacks. You know, apples to apples.
I mean, we had that argument last year, but I do think that there is more depth because of the guys that had to play last year. I think some of the same individuals that if called on this year in the event of an emergency, I would feel a little bit better about just because they got to play.
Yep.
You're not relying on untested, undrafted rookies.
Right.
Now, I think maybe those guys will wash out. Maybe Chris Jones and Joe Villano and Silver Salinga, maybe they're not in the plans, and they end up washing out for another crew of undrafted rookies, and I'll feel every bit as uncertain next year, you know, if that's the case again. But I got to think that guys like that, they have a little bit more, you know, the one area I would say linebacker. They don't have, to me, guys to step in at linebacker. You know, last year you had Mayo go down and you had a guy like Jamie Collins to sort of step in. You had Spikes, who wasn't a full-time player, become more of a full-time player. They don't have those guys waiting around. Even Dane Fletcher, who was more of a special teams guy, but he had played some defense.
Yeah.
He's not around
anymore.
And I
was comfortable with Dane Fletcher when he came into a game.
You know, so they don't have really – they have Chris White, who's –
well, they brought in that other guy in the offseason, that sort of the Dane Fletcher that they brought in, the linebacker. I forget his name.
Yeah.
People say he's as good, if not better.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, then Dane Fletcher?
Yeah, then Dane Fletcher.
I have no doubt that someone could be as good as better or better than Dane Fletcher.
Right.
But the name wasn't one that you know, obviously we can't think of his name off the top of
our head. Who are we talking about? Did the Patriots sign somebody?
Yeah, they signed a linebacker who's a special team stud.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
Hull.
I need a guy who can play defense.
That was his name.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to replace the linebackers on special teams. Yeah. I want a guy that can play play defense, just in case.
They say he's as good as Fletcher in that role.
Yeah, I think they need better than that because Fletcher was like three or four down the list.
Right.
You know, you had Collins and you had Spikes.
Well, the thing is, you know, like you said, if Collins gets hurt this year, there isn't a Collins to back him up.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little concerned about.
Yeah.
Now, listen. You're in sub packages so often. You don't need. I mean, I think they only kept six linebackers last year, if I'm not mistaken, on opening day, and half of those are really special teams players.
Yeah.
So this guy that you guys are talking about, that name is totally escaping me.
Hull
know.
Was his last name. I forget his first.
You know,
name.
Him with Chris White. Those guys are more special teamers. They can fill those roles. Boharness, maybe he is. Maybe he ascends to a spot where maybe he can be a backup inside linebacker, if need be, if something were to happen to Mayo or Hightower or someone, you know, that he could step in and play, whereas last year he probably wasn't ready to do that.
Right. All right, Charlie in Brampton, Ontario writes in, there's been a lot of talk lately about Brady's window and decline. While I think we can all agree Brady has trended down slightly this past season or two, I think there are several reasons that may not be the case this coming season. Of course, there's a second-year bump we are expecting for our wide receivers. However, something I haven't heard anyone mention since the season ended is Brady's hand. I know it was never confirmed, but with so much attention given to it during the season, I have to think Brady was less than 100%. If that's the case, and he's now had the offseason to heal, is it unreasonable for me to think Brady will actually show an improvement in numbers this season, perhaps even return to form? How much weight do you give to
that's
that
a good point,
injury
actually.
To the hand?
That's a good point.
He better be better statistically. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
He had a career low, going back to, I think, his first year in completion percentage, touchdowns. He needs to, yeah. I mean, statistically, I know it's not all about stats, especially with a guy like Tom, but he needs to be better.
But it is a very good point because
I think he had 25 touchdowns.
Well, if the defense gets better, he could have the same stats or maybe not as good, and they could be as good a team.
Yeah,
you know?
I want him to be better. Let's put it that way.
His 0-4-0-3 stats weren't great. Like they are now.
A lot better than this.
What?
A lot better than this.
They are? I mean, in terms of numbers?
Yeah. Yeah. He was not very good statistically last year. Now, I put that almost entirely on the supporting cast.
Well,
I don't put it on Tom at all.
Yeah, I mean, he really didn't start, breaking records till 0-7.
No, he didn't. He doesn't need to throw 50 touchdowns.
Right.
But 30.
Yeah.
He should throw 30, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, and I think if Gronk was healthy all year, he would have.
He may. That's why I said I put it almost entirely on the supporting cast.
0-4 and 0-3 were 23 and 28 touchdowns.
Yeah.
28.
So,
So that's
but
that's
the hand
more.
Injury. The hand injury was it,
and how many
real.
Picks?
We all saw it. He had a hand injury, whether they wanted to admit it or not.
Yeah, right.
And
12,
I think that's a good point that he
14.
Brings up about.
And what did he have this year?
I think he had 11.
So yeah, you're right. 2003 was right about the same as this. 2004 was
right.
He was better.
And that I think that may have had a little bit to do with what we saw as. A little bit of a decline in his play. If you're not able to hold the ball properly or without pain, that's going to affect the way you throw the ball.
The way I look at it, though, there will be some bump or bruise he will have.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll probably get it early. He'll have to deal with something throughout the season. I just kind of, count on that.
Yeah,
I don't want it to happen, but I just kind of, get mentally prepared for that.
Yeah, you were right about the numbers, though. I'm surprised that 2003 was as bad. 2008, the numbers were
he
better.
He threw for 3,600 yards both those years, and he was like 43 this year.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different time. That I don't care about. But I thought he had more touchdowns, and he only had more touchdowns in 2004, 2003. Yards, that's a product of the times.
Right. Matt writes
they have Corey Dillon on, running for a franchise record.
I don't care. I mean, as long as they're scoring points and winning games, that's all that really matters.
They didn't score a lot of points. I know what they finished, but without Gronk, that's why I put it all on the supporting cast.
No, it came in spurts.
Without Gronk, they didn't score a lot of points. They were 13-10 and bad games.
By the end of the season, they were rudderless.
They were winning 13-10, losing 13-10. That's not Patriots football.
That game in Denver said it all. The only guy he was even looking at was Julian Edelman, and that's ridiculous. You're going to lose.
Kind of a number that stuck out to me, Paul, just a random number in 03. He fumbled 9 times.
Yeah, he had some fumbling problems early in his career. He recovered all of them. He never seemed to lose the fumbles, but he's really cut that. That's one of the things that he worked a lot on with some of the stuff that he does with the training that, we wish that we could maybe learn a little bit more about. But ball security was a big deal. For him.
I'll bet you he does something really unique about pocket awareness, like
sensing
pressure. I bet you there's something that he does that no one else does.
He's very good at it. He always has been. He's always had great awareness in the pocket. And I know some people sort of gotten on him for the dives that he senses it. And listen, no one's perfect.
It also just occurred to me that the quote about the not being too far away from football. He already is not too far away from football. Off the field with his TB12 sports complex over here.
I mean,
he could have been referring to that for all we know.
It's a business endeavor.
It's a business endeavor that's
involved.
But maybe he takes it up another notch.
If he ends up staying around here, I find that interesting too. I know a lot of people have sort of looked at the land that he bought in Brookline,
right?
As a sign that he's going to end up.
I'm surprised no undercover journalist hasn't already gone to TB12 like as a client. And said, I just want to do everything that Tom does and pay for it and then do a story on it. What are they teaching up there?
I wonder if they are teaching everything that he actually does.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not necessarily sure that that's the same thing.
Matt from Connecticut, I was just wondering whether you think Brady will retire after this year if we win a Super Bowl. If not, then in 3 years if we win. Also, would you trade a first and 2016 second for Johnson and DJ Swearinger? A first and a 2016 second for Johnson and DJ Swearinger?
I wouldn't know.
A first and a second next year?
He said 2016.
16.
Yeah, a first and a second for Johnson and Swearinger. No, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
No, not a first.
The first is a little high, yeah. I'd do 2 seconds.
I would do 2 seconds.
This year, and you know, 15 and 16.
I would do 2 seconds, yeah.
Let's see. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Todd's in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. You got no energy today.
Right? Oh, really?
I'm the cancer survivor. You guys cured cancer. You don't believe me? Just ask the guys. You weren't here for that episode. But, man, I'm listening to this. I'm falling asleep.
Really? I'm sorry.
I thought the Brady stuff was interesting. Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's interesting. It's just usually somebody's already, you know, you guys aren't yelling yet.
Well, we can't have an argument if we don't necessarily disagree with each other.
Yelling. What the hell is going on?
Listen, Todd, this is what we're going to do.
I'm going to yell at you.
It's 12:40. I promise you by 1 o'clock I'll get Fred going on something. I don't know what it is. Give me something to argue with Fred about.
Fred not buying you a new pump for your pool, because you all tell him that he's got a ton of money, he should look out for his guys.
They can tell me that all they want, but it's not true.
Should have done it.
Okay, quick question.
Shouldn't have done it. It's just
why are they listing Hooman as a fullback on NFL.com?
What was that? They have him listed as a fullback?
They have him as a tight end and a fullback. Oh. I was reading an article.
I mean, he's lined up there, but so have a lot of guys. That's ridiculous. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, don't read anything into that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that he won't be used as sort of an H-back type player at times.
He does get used that way.
But
I saw Gronkowski line up a fullback and then motion out.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't worry about how he's
categorized
on NFL.com.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering if maybe somebody had said something or if maybe that they were just playing with positions or something.
That's all.
Don't
read anything
into that.
That's NFL. Yeah, I was actually thinking about Fred's comment, and fuck, I hate supporting Fred, pardon my language, but
I thought I heard something there.
Yeah.
I don't think Brady's in decline. I think if you take a really good look at last year and you watch it, you realize he had so many O-line issues. When you got the O-line issues and you've got nobody who has any hands, like Edelman's your go-to guy, you know, you're going to have a year where your stats just don't.
Yeah, I'm not going. I'm going by the amount of receivers that I saw him miss last year. I thought was higher than it had been in previous years.
Eyeball test.
It's a very unscientific, you know, subjective kind of thing. But the passes that he missed Edelman on
had nothing to do with
periodically throughout the season. Yeah. You know, and it culminated with the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Wow, that AFC
I don't remember seeing him miss those amount of open receivers.
Do you think he missed those because of a physical decline or mental problem he was having overall with the whole core?
No.
I don't care.
I missed them. Think it was a
and I don't think I remember seeing him miss that many in the past.
Yeah.
Core.
You might be right. It might have been a mental thing.
I took it as more physical because I think he's mentally better than he was ever.
Well, in terms of knowing the game, but unrest with his core is a season-to-season thing.
No, I mean, I think it was more just physical. And it could have been a lot of with the hand injury. That could have been factor in that. I mean, but...
Yeah, but when you miss a guy from that, you know, that's open.
And I will give you some props. I do think the offensive line was an issue at times last year, and it really hasn't been for a long time.
And, you know, and we look at the quotes that Brady did throughout the season whenever O-line came up, and it's always been consistent. He'll never, ever, ever, ever indicate that there's a problem with the offensive line.
When
in his mind, you know, there could be. But he's never
going to
say
except when he's going to call them fat pigs, fat cows.
Yeah, but he's just laughs. I mean,
most smart quarterbacks take their boys out for steak at least.
And he does. You know, I'm sure he buys them things and takes care of these guys. But, you know, we saw the way at times Wendell got pushed around in that Cincinnati game.
Yeah.
Just got pushed on his heels. And, you know, of course Brady senses that and knows it's an issue. And maybe this guy Stork, you know, earns a job faster than we thought. You know,
that
who knows?
Was exactly the last point I had is, I don't know. I've read a lot of different things about Wendell as center, and 90% of them are bad.
Well, he's a technique guy. He's not a strength guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just get overmatched, even though your technique is good. You know.
Right. Can he play any other position other than center? Because we did kind of sign him.
I thought he could play guard too.
Stork?
No,
or Wendell.
Wendell.
I don't think you're going to see him play too much guard. He can play. Sorry about that. He can play guard. I just don't think you'll see too much of it. I think he's a little bit undersized.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, somebody yell at somebody, and I'll let you guys go.
I'll get on it.
See, we just got our lunch, so then that gives us our fuel, and you know we'll come back energized. All right, thanks Todd. So, by the way, we cured Todd of cancer? Is that what he
said? Yeah, he had a bout of cancer. I forgot what type of cancer, but a few years ago, and was listening to us the whole time he was going through treatments and everything.
So is this something we should be alerting the pharmaceutical companies about? Because I think we could... You know, maybe use this as for more people, right? You know,
possibly.
I don't want to keep it a secret.
We're not FDA approved.
If this is the cure for cancer, we should get that out there, right?
No, we have to get approval from the FDA. You're right.
Okay. Well, we're not. They don't have to ingest anything.
No.
So we don't. Still have to study it. Approval.
Well, it's just one case that could have been a coincidence, but
okay.
Yeah, because it could cause them to go the other way, and we don't want that either.
If you keep talking,
I don't want that.
Eventually,
I don't want that on my head. Like all of a sudden, we have a day like today, and evidently, we're not bringing any energy.
Right.
I don't want that on my head.
Right. All right. Lots of calls, lots of emails. Everyone wants to talk about Brady. We'll be right back after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG. And we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. People often ask us, where do you get your tickets? Well, the fact is we have a full buying department that every day receives hundreds of offers from ticket sellers. We personally select only the best tickets to provide you the best value and provide you with legitimate tickets, all with our industry-leading 200% guarantee. At Ace Ticket, we own the tickets we sell, so we only sell tickets we would sit in ourselves. For over 30 years, Ace has been Boston's own ticket agency. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College, where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to
call it slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck, and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fassel. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking it and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring. What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he, you know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells.
All right, back here in PFW in progress is the energy portion of the show, apparently. Thank you from AJ from Roswell, Georgia, who bought us lunch today.
Thanks, AJ.
AJ from Roswell.
That's an underrated
Georgia.
Story, by the way.
People buying us lunch?
No, your Dell's lemonade story.
It was
an underrated
funny.
Story.
I was like, what do you do? No, these aren't for you. You know?
No, I meant over there. You go with the truck. It's right there. Go.
Right.
Buy your own.
Right. So, yep. What's his name? Fassel? Yeah. What's he doing now?
It's a good question. I don't know if is he still in the league? Coordinating anywhere?
No, I don't think so. He might be on TV somewhere. I thought he might be on Fox or something like that. Let's go to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I want y'all to help my quarterback, okay? Brady ain't declining. Yeah, I admit he's getting older. And even Terrell Davis NFL at AM this morning, because they brought Garoppolo up again, and saying he's not successful either. He don't believe it. Sam White don't believe it. And they're saying that the way Brady's playing right now, if he's still healthy, he got 4 or 5 years left him. So he played with Elway, and Elway couldn't make it to practice. And on Thursday, he had to go to rehab just to get a day practice after a game. And he don't see that in Brady. Now, Brady's problem,
Brady is in much better shape right now at 37 than Elway was.
Yeah, it was.
No doubt, because I watched pretty much. You know, Elway was kind of limping all over the place, you know.
And so. I still say, you get the best quarterback in the field from Weapon, we have 4 or 5 more championships. Can't do it with Minutemen.
Yeah, okay.
Can't do it with Minutemen, you know. That's Brady's biggest problem this whole career. Just that year with Moss and Stallworth now, best year ever had. They was on something, they got away from it. And then, like I said, doing the league, doing championships, everything else, everybody catch up with small ball. Because they ain't worrying about nothing down the field. Hell, who's going to run in and catch it?
Yeah, but small ball works if you got Gronkowski. You know, if they had Gronkowski, small ball's fine. Because you know you've got the red zone threat. You have to be able to score in the red zone with small ball. And with Gronkowski, you can.
We had Gronk. Even though he was limited, hurt that time, in the last Super Bowl, whatever. But he still hurt.
Yeah,
he still had nobody on the outside. Lord wasn't a man. Johnson wasn't a man. And like I said, you ain't got nobody on the outside.
Well,
that's the biggest problem with the Patriots.
Yeah, they didn't have a definitely didn't have the deep ball threat. That's for sure.
And Paul, I love your commentary, man. I read the PF on PFW, but the Jets and the Dolphins are a threat. The Jets most definitely this year. For the pieces they added with a free agency and what they did through the draft and their tight end. In other words, they
who's the Jets quarterback? Who's gonna lead that Jets team?
I can't say to be big.
Well, right now it's.
I will say this about the Jets.
Right now,
Eldridge, if Michael Vick ends up playing the vast majority of games for the Jets, and he puts one of his seasons together where he's, you know, like 2 years ago, I think he was an MVP candidate for like 12 weeks. If he does that with the Jets, they could be a threat.
Yeah,
I don't see it.
Sure,
I don't see it.
Remember now. Jeff always been good on defense.
Yep.
Okay, and they got a safety now.
They're good enough on defense. That's for sure.
They're boning it up.
Yep.
And they like to blitz that safety they just drafted. And that's just a pet peeve.
Yep.
Okay, like I said, they know us. They know us. And if Gronk ain't there, so you only got to worry about is Edelman, having to do the breaking glass, and Brandon to drop the pail. I ain't worried.
Okay.
Really, really hard on Brandon LaFell, I noticed. Brandon dropped LaFell.
I'm in Carolina. I see Brandon play. When I'm watching the Patriots, I'm watching the Panthers. I've seen him. He's not worth the $19 or $16 million they gave.
All right.
Evan's worth the $31 million they gave. Should have gave Chief 15 at the West and kept him. She said, you know, at least we have some kind of little threat by it. But they're not worth it. I've seen him for 5 years.
But now he's, you know, all right, we'll see. All right, thanks, Eldridge.
Why didn't you finish that?
Well, because I was going to say he didn't have a quarterback. But
no, now he's on the Patriots. What you're going to say is now he's on the Patriots.
Now he's got a quarterback to throw him the ball.
Well, now, he'll be fine. Maurice in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys two things. Have you guys seen Brandon LaFell play since he's been with Carolina? I know he had like 600 some odd yards and a few touchdowns last year. I just wanted to know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the last call. Eldridge in North Carolina, who watches a Patriots fan, but he doesn't like LaFell. He doesn't think he's that good.
Well,
I know he had a decent game against us. You know,
I'm here to tell you, I watch a lot of the Carolina games because they're in my region, and I have NFL Network, but I stopped watching that game until the Patriots game come on. But I think LaFell is going to have a good year receiving-wise for us. Watching all of the Carolina games, especially against Seattle, he was getting open a lot against Richard Sherman. What he was doing, he was double moving him, but the problem is Cam Newton was sailing the ball on him or destroying him. Now you got Tom Brady. This guy is 6'2". He can get open and he can break tackles. He's not going to break away from you. But I think he's going to have a productive season for us.
Okay,
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Two divergent views on the same player. It's
from people in the region.
Right, first-hand views.
Yeah. I've seen them on, like I said, in South Carolina. We have North Carolina's region. Yeah, I've seen them play a lot of the passes that Cam threw to him. The guy was open, but Cam was failing the ball on him.
Okay.
And that's understandable because he's like 6'2", 6'3", but he wasn't getting the ball to him.
Right.
Now, Brady's going to put the ball in between the numbers, and I'm going to go out on the limb and say, if he starts, he's probably going to have a 1,000-yard season.
All right.
In my opinion.
Okay.
I'd say 1,000
yards. What's his average per catch, do you think? What do you think is average per catch?
From what I've seen with Cam Newton, who is inferior to Brady, I would say, with him being able to get over the break tackles, I would probably say he's an intermediate-type person, 15, 20 yards.
Oh, wow. That would be huge. I'd be happy with 11, 12.
I'm telling you right now.
I'll take 12.
Negative talk about Brandon LaFell. I've seen him firsthand. He is going to have a good year.
Okay. I hope you're right, Maurice. I know the Patriots are counting on it.
If he has a 1,000-yard year, he's not averaging 15 or 20
too often these free agent wide receivers, and I know LaFell, they paid a little bit more than other guys, but they really haven't done well other than Randy Moss, and that was a trade. bringing in free agent wide receivers. And I hope
he's not going to start. I don't know if he's going to start, but when he's on the field, he's probably going to be on most of
them. Yeah, I don't mind if he doesn't start. It's just, you know, when the package calls for that type of threat, he should be the guy out there. And as long as he produces when the matchup is right, that's all I'm asking. I don't care if he starts.
Remember, he beat us.
Yeah, he sure did.
Now, sometimes he got a molasses hand, but the guy can get open. He just needs to concentrate on catching the ball because the ball is coming in between the numbers with Tom Brady.
What about all the drops?
Like I said, that's the question mark. I mean, all he can do is get the ball to him. Like I said, Cam Newton ball fails a lot with him, but Tom Brady...
Yeah, but he got a lot of drops. According to Pro Football Focus, he was one of the higher drop guys.
Yeah,
so that's not the ball sailing over him. Those are drops. And you obviously, Maurice, watch him more than we do. All we got to see really extensively was the game he played against the Patriots.
And highlights.
And he did play well against the Patriots that night.
So, I just think he's going to have a good year, in my opinion. If he doesn't start, he probably have 700 yards, but if he starts, probably have 1,000.
From your lips to Tom Brady's ears.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll see.
All right, Maurice. Thanks for the call.
I could see him around, 500, 600, 700. I could see that happen.
It all depends if
he works out.
If it's 500, 600 yards and 50% targets, no good. Because now we're talking Brandon Lloyd again.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because I don't see Brady continuing to go to him if he's not having success.
Larry in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
I got two little problems and one that I got to ask a question because nobody seems to be able to give me an answer, and I figure all the people listen to you, somebody will give me the answer. One is, it's Walden Pond. I cannot stand that commercial saying Walden Woods. It's the person who wrote it, and Gillette, and Patriots, and the Crafts, and Belch, they're all New Englandish. They know. It irks me.
What does this have to do with football? I'm sorry. What commercial?
Which commercial are you talking about?
For the Gillette.
Gillette?
They say that the Patriots are more known in New England than the Revolution in Paul Revere, and they call it Walden Woods.
So it's a Gillette commercial for the shaving company?
I don't know if it's making that the Patriots are better. It's actually a Patriot commercial, and they just kind of throw Gillette into it. About if you were just on, and they say that the Patriots are more famous than Paul Revere, and you know you're talking about Revolutionary War heroes.
Yeah,
I mean, and just because we won the Super Bowl, that's cool, and I'm very proud. And yes, but why do you have to down something else?
I don't know who you're talking about. Who's doing this downing?
It's the commercial.
I know, but whose commercial is it?
I think it's the Patriots commercial.
What are we advertising?
And how famous they are.
We just decided to do a commercial about the Patriots? That's rare. We've never done that before.
Is it one of our spots on Patriots.com?
Oh, it's on during this past break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a Gillette commercial.
And whoever wrote it, there's no such... There's such a place as Walden Woods, but it's actually Walden Woods. But my question, my help I need.
All right, okay.
Okay, and this is weird, and I'm sorry, guys. We live in a...
Weirder than that one?
I hope it's better than that.
Oh, yeah. We live in a kind of a rural part of Worcester, believe it or not.
And I believe
turkeys,
it.
And they kind of walk around.
Yeah, I got them really in my backyard, sure.
And I love to watch the little ones walk behind. And the big lady ones guard the little ones.
Big breasts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I got one that's laying around my backyard.
Yeah.
Gets up, walks 15 feet, lays back down all day for 3 days.
Okay.
And I call everybody, toss everybody, and they all go, well, maybe it's because it's breeding season. Well, maybe it's breeding season. So they don't see it. No.
Do you think you're calling NPR?
Well, but everybody gets answers from you guys.
Oh, okay.
You guys got...
No, you got it backwards. We get answers from our listeners.
No, that's what he means. He thinks, okay, so the problem is you've got a turkey laying down in your yard.
Well, I got dogs and I got cats and I don't want anything to happen to it.
So you're wondering why the turkey is doing that?
Yeah, I mean, is it hurt? Maybe I should go out and take it to Tufts.
Maybe. Oh, you think it's injured?
Well, it doesn't seem to be. Gets up, walks around, looks okay.
Is it laying eggs? I don't know.
Well, that was my... Okay, now you know what I'm questioning.
All right, so we'll find out. And just so we give our listeners some point of reference, is it laying down in open grass or is it in the bushes?
It's just on the edge of the bushes.
On the edge of the bushes, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it could be tired, you know.
Well, but I mean... the 3 days, it just seems strange. And I think if people... Whenever some crazy question gets asked, somebody else
will
always...
We'll put it out there.
Strippers, get on it.
All right, thanks, Larry. Oof.
Todd.
Yeah.
If that phone call went on about another 30 seconds, I would have given you what you were looking for.
Larry all over the place today, you know?
Wow.
Adam writes in from Dublin, how the hell in the modern world, this is another subject, can anybody think that what the Ravens and Ray Rice organization organized last week would benefit anybody involved in the whole ordeal? I mean, the guys in the league office have to be stunned by it all. I didn't see Ray Rice's press conference, but I guess, according to one of our PR guys, he wouldn't have done it that way. Obviously, Ray Rice had the domestic violence issue on tape and came out and really didn't apologize, never said he was sorry.
To her.
To her,
he apologized to everybody else, yeah. But he never said to her.
And also said one of his quotes was, "Well, you know, when you get knocked down, you got to get back up."
I don't have a problem with that one. I think that everybody attacked him for that. I think that you're right. I think that it was from what I've read about it, and I didn't see it. What I've read about it, he didn't. First of all, they didn't take questions. I think that one of those things you get out in front of it, and I think you take your medicine and you let them attack you, and you. Show your composure,
right.
and you
throw yourself at the mercy.
Exactly, I think that's the best way on those. Right. And evidently, they just came out, the two of them. They made their statements, and they didn't take any questions. Now, I wouldn't have done it like that.
Was that a team sanctioned press conference?
Yeah, had the backdrop behind them and all that stuff. Mm. I wouldn't have done it that way. I don't think it did anybody involved any good. But I'm not attacking the guy for saying. Listen, you know. Basically, what he's saying is, I made a mistake, and when you make a mistake, you pick yourself back up. I don't look at it like, oh, what a poor choice of words. I know he was getting killed for that over the weekend. That's not what he's talking about.
Yeah,
he wasn't meaning that someone hit me and I got knocked down and I got back up.
Yeah, there's really not much to say if you hit a woman.
No,
except you're sorry.
Right,
and he
yeah, he should have done that. To her, he should have said. I think he apologized to his teammates, his coaches, his sponsors, even the people involved in the Ravens. But he didn't apologize to her. He probably should have done that.
Adam also says, I have a totally separate issue about Peter King too. I like the style of Monday Morning Quarterback website, but to write in a story that you had 40-minute access to Tom Brady and then state that the player would quote not dish very specifically about anything. End quote, is pretty poor from a journalism standpoint. But I suppose it just shows that in pro sports, it's the leagues and the players who hold the power, and the media have to be content with the crumbs from the table.
I'm not sure exactly who his beef is with.
That he didn't
is
get
it with
anything?
Peter King? It sounds like it's with Peter King.
He didn't get anything of note out of the 40 minutes?
I don't know. I don't. Really, I'm not a huge Peter King fan. You guys know that. I don't like the fact that he includes that in his story.
Right.
I don't need to. I'm seeing quotes in here from Tom Brady, so I'm going to make the leap as the reader now, not as a journalist. As the reader, I'm going to assume what?
That you talked to him for that
length
of time.
Yeah, that the guy who wrote the story talked to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady gave him these quotes. I'm going to make that assumption. I don't need you to tell me that you talked to him on the phone for 40 minutes.
Right.
All that is to me is grandstanding. It's telling you how important Peter King is and connected he is. I can get these guys anytime. I can get him on the phone on his way to Foxborough for a workout in the middle of May.
And
Peter King.
He's also giving himself an out by saying, you know, he wouldn't dish on anything specifically.
We all know that. Tom Brady doesn't give you anything. We know that.
But what he's saying is, you know, I asked him these questions, but he wouldn't answer. All right, well, tell me the questions that you asked that he declined to answer.
Right.
I think that's part of the story, right?
Yeah.
I asked him about this, but he declined.
Yep.
You should say that, you know?
That's a good point, yeah. And then let the reader decide if they think that those were,
you know, why did he decline, you know, that kind of thing. But I think, you know, what you're saying is, I did have the guts to ask the tough questions, but he wouldn't dish out anything. Okay. But well, what were the tough questions?
There weren't any tough questions.
That he published, yeah.
No, but I mean, what were the tough questions? What would you be worried about asking Tom Brady right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if you wanted to be a real argumentative DB, you could say, you know, are you declining? Are your skills declining?
Right.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that you could ask that question without being a DB, and that's probably part of what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be 37. You said you wanted to play to the quarterback. They just drafted a quarterback. Do you sort of sense your mortality?
Yeah.
Are you hearing footsteps?
Yeah.
But I don't like the way he inserts himself into the story all the time.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata. There's been so much talk about the fact that we drafted Garoppolo to light a fire under Brady's ass. I think she has XRD. Sixerd? 100 and something like that. I don't know. I think she meant second round, but she wrote six. Oh, sixth round, 199th pick is fire enough for him. I get it. I hope we get another 4 years from Brady, that he retires a Patriot, and that we'll never see him cut or traded. I'm so grateful that I live in an era where I got to see and cheer for one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. So she's saying that he has enough fire.
And I don't think that that's a reason for drafting a player.
That was like one of the top reasons that I heard people talking about why they drafted Garoppolo.
I can't imagine that they're sitting in the war room. Draft day, they've got 10 minutes in the second round.
Right,
we need to light a fire under Brady. Who can we get to do that?
I don't see that as being an issue. I don't know. I think they're just looking at it as just like everybody else. You know,
I think it's about being prepared.
He's getting to his late 40s. I mean, his late 30s, and you know, it's time to wonder, because I do think that there's a chance that whether or not you agree that he has declined at all, I do think that when we see a decline that we can all agree on, it could be fast. When you get to this stage of your career, it could be a precipitous drop. And like you said, Fred, you want to be prepared for that.
Yep.
Did you take from this story any more or less impact that I asked both of you guys? You feel stronger that he'll finish his career with the Patriots, or stronger that he won't?
It didn't change that to me at all.
My opinion one way
or
the other.
Well, unfortunately, I'm trying to start an argument. We can't do it. I'm with you. I didn't feel it, but I saw a couple of people on Twitter. Ross Tucker was one of them, and I saw he sent something to Peter King. After reading his comments to Peter King, I'm more convinced than ever that Tom finished his career somewhere else. Why?
Yeah.
Based on what?
Well,
based on what in there more convinces you of that?
I think maybe he's inferring that Brady wants to play longer than his contract is here, and that the team, by drafting Garoppolo, is ready to move on.
It did move the needle a little bit that way for me, that he might go down swinging. He might not go down gracefully.
Mm. Which would be sad.
Which means he may not finish his career here in New England.
A star quarterback have
right.
I'm not asking you if
past.
You think
no,
he'll,
I know you weren't. That's why I agreed with you.
Yeah. There's a different argument to be made.
Right.
I think there's a chance that he does not end his career here.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, but I'm just saying, based on these quotes, what led you to believe that there's more of a chance now that he's not gonna finish
it's
here?
It's the same.
And to me, it's a non-needle mover. It is the same. Maybe you could sit there and say, well, he's sitting there telling you, well, this is the way they do things around here, and basically he's telling you, someday they're going to tell me I'm not the guy either. But I don't read into this as there's any better chance that that's going to happen when he still wants to play. I think there's a very good chance that this happens when he's done. That's when they're going to pass the torch. He's not the guy anymore, and he's not going to want to play anywhere
else either.
But
when the Patriots say he's done and when Tom Brady says he's done, maybe two different things.
Yeah.
You know?
Very possible.
And that's where the issue always is with these guys.
Right. No, that is absolutely the issue with this whole process, the whole second round Garoppolo pick. But I don't read anything in here that leads me to believe that's more likely or less likely.
Right. Stephen London, good afternoon, gentlemen of PFW, longtime listener, second time emailer. If the decline of Tom Terrific is extremely obvious this season, i.e. missing open receivers, interceptions by the dozens.
I don't think we said it was extremely.
No, he says
he's saying, he's saying if.
We're not done
yet. This coming year.
Because we weren't ripping him like
if
that.
It is, okay. If it is noticeable, who does Bill turn to at this precise moment? Mallett or Garoppolo?
My bad.
Mallett.
I misread that.
I think it'd have to be Mallett.
Mallett.
My bad.
Right?
Yeah.
I only ask this as we have never.
I think it's got to be Garoppolo. I don't know why you invest a second
right
round
now,
pick.
Right at this moment?
He's,
he's trying,
he's trying to start.
He doesn't
yeah,
even
he's trying
it.
To start. No.
I only ask this as we have never really seen Mallett in any real first team action and would believe all the hype would be for the new guy in town. Great show as always and keep up the great work.
We've seen some of Mallett in first team action at practices. Training camp mostly, because we don't get to see that sort of in-depth stuff during the season, but not nearly enough to.
Yeah. Tony writes in, the smarmy irritant known as Felger argues that Brady is slipping. How can one make that argument when his weapons are mediocre at best? Dobson and Tompkins were among the league leaders in drops versus targets, and rarely were they where they were supposed to be. Boyce was a non-factor, Amendola unreliable, and Gronk available for seven games. That's not slippage. That's lack of reliable weapons.
Well, hold on. How do you know that the receivers weren't where they were supposed to be?
You can only assume.
But, right. How do you know with 100% surety that that's the case?
Well, see, I think it's logical, Fred, to assume that there were times where the receivers weren't where they were supposed to be. But I don't think that's then okay to sit there and say every time that he missed a guy that was open was because he was where he wasn't supposed to be.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, when there's a guy cutting across the field wide open, whether he's supposed to bend that back a little bit, he airmails him.
Yeah.
See, you guys always made fun of me, but I've always said, and I keep telling you that I've always said throughout his career that he's had stretches of inaccuracy.
Yeah, I just don't think there was ever as many as there was this year.
Early in
That's
games
all.
Where he just, for whatever reason, overshoots guys and is inaccurate, maybe because he's just too much adrenaline or whatever. But I've seen that throughout his career.
Listen, I think the email is right.
But he's so good that
problem,
he overcomes that.
The number one problem was the supporting cast
sure.
in the passing game this year.
No
but
doubt.
But Brady, I don't think, was as good as he has been in the past.
Right, and we're not talking about drops. No one's blaming him for – you can't blame any quarterback for a drop.
Yeah. I'm not talking about his numbers.
But I think those drops get into
Brady,
his head.
But I'm not blaming Brady for his numbers declining.
Yeah.
That, to me, is 80%, 85%.
You're doing the eye test.
You're
not looking at numbers.
Yes.
I get it. Pete in Augusta, Maine, I think the debate is the age thing. I don't think anyone disagrees that his accuracy at times has been questionable, but there are a lot of reasons why that could be. Defense looking good. We'll see what happens with the offense. Okay, I guess we will. Let's see. Tony writes in, big difference, Moss was 30 when acquired. Johnson will be 33 by the fall. Talk about Andre Johnson. 33 is old for a wide receiver, too old to give up anything higher than a third.
Yeah, but he's not playing very old.
He's not. He's been extremely productive with bad quarterbacks the last several years. I would give up a second for him, absolutely. But, yeah, he is. It's 33 is old.
Valentino in Florida says, unsurprisingly, Keep Tlaib has evidently referred to Manning as a better quarterback than Brady. My first thought was, of the bulletin board fodder, this would provide Tom and the Patriots. Recalling the way in which New England utilized Tlaib to neutralize Jimmy Graham in New Orleans, I wonder whether or not Denver will have similar designs when the Broncos play the Patriots. I wanted to know if you guys had any insight on whether Tlaib and Gronk saw a lot of matchups in practice last season, and if so, who got the better of whom, as this could make for an interesting turn of events this coming season.
We're not allowed to watch past stretching and maybe a drill or two during the season.
Well, we saw training camp.
But in training camp, Gronk wasn't playing.
Gronk in training camp.
So we really have never
really
seen them.
But even comparing Jimmy Graham to Gronk, two different guys. Jimmy Graham is not as strong as Gronk. Probably is a little bit faster, as tall. But I think Gronk's still the tougher matchup.
Oh, you know? As a receiver?
Gronk?
Yeah, overall?
I think Jimmy Graham is a better overall receiver. Now,
he's
I think Gronk is tougher.
But you can't.
I think Gronk is tougher.
But Tlaib took Graham out of a game. Could Tlaib do the same to Gronk?
I think so. I think he could.
I
think a good cornerback that's big enough. I don't know if it's Tlaib, but a good cornerback that's big enough could do that to Gronk, too. Now, where I think Gronk is better than Graham is toughness.
Well, he won't give up.
Right. And I think Graham was hurt that day, and he quit like a little baby.
I was just going to bring that up, Paul.
I think he acted like a little baby that day because he wasn't feeling
very
right,
and he
was all pissy that they were giving him so much attention, and he played like a little biatch, as Andy would say. Now, that doesn't take away from Tlaib's performance, but remember, that was the day that Tlaib got hurt, early in the third quarter. So that means he played the rest of the game and didn't catch any balls either.
Right.
So it wasn't just about Tlaib. Not to sound like Fred Kirsch here and dismiss the guy who's no longer on the Patriots as having anything to do with the fact that Jimmy Graham got shut down.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Graham did a lot to shut down Jimmy Graham that day.
The better part of a half.
And I don't think that
happens. He didn't have Tlaib on it.
And I don't think that happens to Gronk. I think Gronk is too tough to allow someone to take him out of a game.
Mm-hmm.
A bad game for Gronk is not going to be no catches.
Jake's in California. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to start by saying you guys had amazing composure with Turkey Man over there.
Well, Larry's a longtime caller, and you know, like it's like a family, and you know, you put up with the crazy uncle at the dinner table.
I was eating lunch.
But my question was, Fred, your bold prediction is Peyton Manning's just going to have this huge drop off.
He's going to have a decline noticeably. Yes.
But how come you don't predict that for Brady? I'm not saying now, but you said, oh, it's going to be steady decline over 2 years. But
I don't think he will. I think first of all, physically, Brady's in better shape than Manning. you know, so I just think this is the year for Manning. Brady's time will come. He's not going to play forever, you know, but it's not here yet.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to be drastic or like Fred and Paul have alluded to as it's, you know, steady?
Will it be? I don't know. I say he's got two more really good years left, and then I think you're going to start seeing decline. That's my prediction for Brady.
All right. Well, have a good day, guys.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Jake's trying to catch me up in something. That's just the way I feel, you know?
He's trying to start an argument.
Well, you got to admit, your Manning thing is a little silly.
Why?
Why is he any more susceptible to just drop off the face of the earth than anybody else?
You'll see.
I already know how this is going to play out.
Yeah,
he's not going to break his record, so you'll say, "See, I told you, his numbers declined."
No. He's gonna get knocked around a little early, and his season's not going to be.
What, so he's going to get hurt.
No, but he'll play. He's not going to be knocked out. And I think that he's not going to have Manning numbers this year, and I think as a result, the team.
Well, that's
what
I'm asking you. What
are
Manning numbers?
The team will at best win 10 games.
What are Manning numbers?
He won't have over 4,500 yards passing.
Okay, how much are we betting on that?
We're not betting.
Okay. What's the other
I don't bet? Like betting on other people's, you know, misfortune. That's not
first
nice.
Of all, that's exactly what you're all about.
That's not nice.
Is rooting for other people that's to not, get maimed.
I'm just predicting what is.
Okay. No, wait. Why are we getting away from this?
Yeah, I
want you to put it on the table. 10 wins, 4,500 yards, what else?
Oh, so I have to be exact in all these to win the bet?
They got
to
be less than that.
Yeah.
You just made two statements.
10 wins. I'll bet you on 10.
They
wins.
Won't win more than 10 games, and they won't.
Okay.
Win, and he won't throw for more than 4,500
yards. I'll bet you
lunch
yards. On 10 games. Just
okay.
The 10 games.
You're on.
Okay.
I want to pile up my lunches.
Yeah.
That's one. What else am I
touchdowns.
Eating about?
He won't have over 42 touchdowns.
Oh, I'm not going to bet you on that.
Why?
Because it's happened like 5 times in the history of football.
So?
So I'm not going to just bet you that he's going to have another historic season. And then you're going to claim that's a drop-off.
42 is far from the record. He had 55 last year, something
Fred,
like that.
Fred, seriously?
You know?
There have been more than 40 touchdown passes thrown a small handful of times.
That's 13 less than he had last
year. I understand that. He set a record.
Yeah. But
Brady threw 50 once. He only threw
25
last year.
So I'm
saying, was 25
fewer. I'm saying only 42.
What are the odds that he's going to do that again?
Why don't you
he does it all the time.
Pick a number like 35.
I'm not comfortable with that.
So basically what we're getting to is he doesn't think Manning's going to
fall
off the
table. How many interceptions did Manning have last year?
I don't know.
Well, find that number. Maybe I'll give you a proposition there.
Kevin will be on that.
Yeah, find out
Manning
how many
last
interceptions
year, his stats.
Manning, because that's going to be an issue for him this year.
8?
He had 8?
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, I'll say he has at least 15 this year.
I'll take that one too.
Okay. All right. 15 and 10 wins.
Brady's career average in the 90s is what, 12?
He had 55 and 10 picks last year.
10.
Which picks.
Go back and tell me when the last time he threw more than 15 interceptions was. Well, you just had the page open. What'd you do?
I'll give you 15, Paul.
Yeah,
yes?
I'll take that.
Okay. All right.
2010.
Okay. I'll take that one.
Okay. All right.
Threw 17 in 2010, 16 in 2009.
Okay. So you'll take that. That's a good bet.
So I get a free lunch if they win more than 10 games.
Right.
And a free lunch if he throws less than 15 interceptions.
You got it.
I'll take it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can I get you into that 4,500 yards?
No.
Can I interest you in a two-story? What do I have to do to get you in this car?
You know, yards can be deceptive.
As long as it's not a Subaru Outback.
Yeah.
Yards can be deceptive.
Kind of car that is.
Well, that's why Brady threw for 4,500 yards last year. Worst year since 2003.
That's what I'm saying. So yards can be deceptive. You know, a lot of them can be done in catch-up mode and all that stuff. So,
Paul, how many picks?
He really has Denver sucking.
Paul, how many picks did Peyton have his first year starting?
Like 28.
Wow. That's good.
It's not my first year covering the NFL.
Easy on Spider over here, right?
Yeah. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline again. Juan's in Florida. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, last Thursday I called, and Eric was saying that Brady had a lot more incompletions, and that's why he believes the decline. But what about all the games that Brady took us down the field to win this year and how clutch he was in the fourth quarter?
But he's always been that way. He's always been a clutch fourth-quarter guy.
Some detractors have said he's losing that part of his game, and he
didn't. I actually think he lost a little of it. I think he had plenty of opportunities to do it and didn't do it last year.
Really?
Yeah. Miami, Carolina, Cincinnati.
Carolina's a tough one to put on him.
Fred, he had to throw a 25-yard pass into the end zone and almost got bailed out with a pass
interference. I think he put him in position.
It's a terrible
Carolina's not fair.
It was a terrible throw.
That's a tough one to put on him. Well,
it was under duress. Remember, the guy was right in his face when he threw
it. Was it a good throw or not?
He had to get rid of the ball. There was no, you know.
All right. What about Cincinnati?
Cincinnati was just an all-around bad game.
Okay. What about Miami?
And he has one of those every year, at least.
Okay.
At least
Miami, so,
you're saying because he had that bad game in Cincinnati. Oh, that's
no,
evidence.
No, I'm saying I just gave you three games that he had the ball in his hands with a chance to win and didn't win any.
I can give you evidence in 07, 06, 05, 04 of bad games that Tom Brady had.
I also want to say the Jets game that they ended up losing in overtime. Mm. He had a wide open Gronk.
He did
for a would be game winning touchdown and air-mailed him.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. He did.
I know they ended up kicking a field goal to tie the game, so everybody didn't remember that one, but. There's another one.
Gronk had to jump up in the air one-handed, almost made the catch, too. It would have been a tremendous
catch.
That's
the one. That's the one. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. Would have had to make a tremendous catch, and he would have raced into the end zone untouched because he got behind the defense in his first game back.
He's still Tom Brady. He's still great. I just don't think he was as great, and I think
and
Eric agrees with me.
Absolutely.
As he has
been. I just think...
a lot of that is about the supporting cast.
I think a lot of the misplays he's had in the past gets overlooked because of the team's overall success, but... He's never perfect, and, you know, now he
needs
to be. Well,
the team had the same overall success last year.
He just needed to be perfect in order for, you know, them to have the best record in the league, you know? I think it's just all on him. What's up, Juan? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game, all of a sudden a hurricane came in the fourth quarter whenever we had a ball to try to win.
That's true.
I mean, as opposed to
the gods were against us.
The rain to the first three and a half quarters when he marched it up and down the field.
The rain also fell on the Bengals that day.
No.
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 All right, Juan.
Even Juan liked that one.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Balarco in L.A. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Doing great.
I did read the Peter King article, and I know that Brady wants to play as long as he can and everything. But my biggest fear is that, like, when he leaves, we are going to become the next Dallas Cowboys. So I'm really okay with any future-related pick that Belichick makes in any draft. Because I know that a lot of Patriots fans want Belichick to do what Elway is doing for Manning. But I'm okay with any future-related pick.
In terms of them picking a quarterback, you mean?
Yeah, and also, like, if they wanted to pick some, like, developmental, like, people in defense, like, that can be developed in, like, the
next that's what
few
Denver
years.
Did. You mean Denver made all their moves on defense.
But you're saying, Balarco, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're okay with their taking players who aren't necessarily going to help Brady today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because that's what I'm saying, that I don't want the Patriots to become the butt of the joke.
Okay,
like the Cowboys.
Yes. You still want him thinking ahead.
Well,
right.
They're not going to be the butt of the jokes like the Cowboys unless their quarterback is a choking dog like the Cowboys is. I mean, if you don't have good play at the quarterback position, I'm sorry. You're only going to win so many games. You can be a talented team like Dallas and find a way to go 8-8 all the time, but if you have inconsistency at that position, you're not going to get over the hump. You know, this might be the year Dallas goes 10-6 instead of 8-8 and they make the playoffs. They're no threat with him playing quarterback because he will make a colossal mistake. Fact. It will happen. I know his numbers are eye-popping and everybody thinks he's great. He's a good quarterback who was prone to big mistakes.
In big games.
Especially in big games. By the way, Freddie.
Yeah.
My parents were at down in Florida for the Pop Warner year-end banquets and stuff.
Yep.
Jerry Jones spoke.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
My father said. Oh. They were all worried that he was, you know, he's going to sound like such an egomaniac.
Right,
and
right.
What's his? He was tremendous.
What was his theme?
Yeah, what was the message?
Very humble, just talking about.
Jerry?
Yeah. And there was he was talking about when he was growing up, I guess when he was little, they had some sort of store, like a small, like a
convenience kind of,
like,
kind of place.
Yeah, like a grocery store kind of thing. And his mother used to dress him up as a little boy with a bow tie on and send him out front to greet people and try to, like, get them to come in. I mean, you could see it with his personality and get people to come in, drum up business. And, you know, that's basically, you know, his humble beginnings. It was like this, this little boy who had to try to get people to go into the store and ends up becoming a billionaire or whatever.
How about that six-pack of Coke?
But, yeah, my father said that he was really engaging and very good with his time, and he was pretty good.
Okay,
just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's good. Nice little insight. Did your father get to talk to him at all and shake his hand?
I think he met him, but it was like a bunch of people there.
Yeah,
you know. Plus, you know, I wouldn't have been one of those. I always tell my father, you know, if you see so and so, you know, introduce yourself. And
right,
you know, I wouldn't have said to you meeting Jerry Jones, "Oh, tell him your son writes a Patriots.com."
Yeah. Kettle writes in, I honestly think Brady is in prime situation for having a better season than ever. I feel the repeat of 07 season coming, except us winning the Super Bowl. The season before when Brady threw an interception to the Colts, he had the motivation and the determination to come back better than ever. And I think this year he has a chip on his shoulder. He always has said he wants to be the best quarterback on the roster. I have watched the videos on Patriots.com, and it feels like this team has a better chemistry than any other. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, way too soon to know that.
I'm not even going to touch the chemistry part of that.
From the video, boy, this guy reads a lot into video.
I just can't see those kinds of offensive fireworks based on the personnel.
Yeah.
Do you disagree with that?
No, unless all of a sudden Aaron Dobson and, you know, Josh Boyce become – you know, these big play guys.
If Gronk is
Randy
if
Moss
Gronk is
was
healthy,
such a big part of that, the way they were.
And this, you know, this team's Moss is Gronk. If Gronk is back playing from week one, gives you 16 games, and he's the beast that we've come to know, and he's getting double teams.
So let's just say he gets 20 touchdown catches.
Yeah. And that's
I don't think that's insane.
I don't think that's
unreasonable. That could happen if he played
the whole season. Now he's opening up lanes for these other guys. Maybe Edelman doesn't have another fully 1,000-yard season, but maybe he gets you 800 yards, 10 touchdowns. It's possible.
Yeah.
But what is possible?
That they, I mean, they're not going to get, they're not going to have, well, they're not going to have 07 numbers. Yeah. They're not going to have 07 numbers, but they
based
could still
on this
be,
personnel, I don't think that's possible.
They could still be a higher powered offense than they were, or more consistent offense.
Well,
than they
it
could
be
like they were
last year with Gronk,
and that's how they got. I mean, I think they were third in the league in scoring last year,
right?
And the reason was because the seven games they played with Gronk, they played at an incredibly high level.
Yeah,
and I think he's that much of a difference maker. I know that they could be a high scoring offense if Gronk is healthy, but you know, high scoring and record setting are two different things.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying they're going to break any records.
Yeah,
but
no, I just don't see. Like you said, if Gronk does all that, then yeah, Edelman's numbers are probably going to come down a little bit. Maybe Amendola is a little bit more consistent, so he's more of a viable threat than he was on a week-to-week basis last year. I don't see it, but that could happen. Dobson, I think, is a guy that could make a jump if healthy, but there's a big question mark there because he's coming off the foot surgery.
Yep.
And, you know, the other guys, to me, are kind of in fights just to get roles. LaFell Boyce, Kembrell Tompkins. Right. I don't know what you can rely on from these guys.
Yep.
Now, compare and contrast that with Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, Jabbar Gaffney, Benjamin Watson, Kevin Faulk. I mean, these guys were all sort of proven.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not all of them proven here in New England, like Stallworth and Moss and Welker. They had to prove themselves here. But, my God, I mean, the difference in talent to me is alarming.
Yeah. I mean, Maroney was no great shakes, but they had a decent running game. You know, toward the end of the season, Maroney actually did pretty well.
Maroney was terrific in that December. That's probably the best stretch of football he played.
Yeah.
Right. Was December and into the playoffs when he racked up like 400 or 500-yard games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, he did it when they needed him to. Jose in Idaho, great show, but I want to talk about Gronk and a little about Brady. On Gronk, I was not that bothered that he was in Vegas, but I was extremely bothered with the company he was with, namely Johnny Manziel. A star tight end hanging with a guy with character issues is not comforting for me as a fan, nor should it be for Bill. On Brady, I feel like his recent comments to Peter King are confirming that Garoppolo is the next Patriot quarterback, but Brady hinted that the job is not going to be handed to Garoppolo on his watch. I think Brady beats out Garoppolo for years to come, and destroys Garoppolo's psyche as a quarterback in this league and causes him to wash out of the NFL.
Oh, my God.
Brady has done it both in college and in the NFL, beating out better competition with better pedigree. I say Brady has a storm in his belly to put to bay and will have a career year. I thank you and great entertainment. What's that?
So that's Andy with the storm in his
belly. Storm in his belly.
Yeah. Wow. People just...
You're right about the Manziel thing. You know, you were saying it's not fair what they're doing this game. Like,
what did he ever do? Character? I mean,
he's got some question marks.
Yeah.
There's no question. But right now, listen, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm not thrilled that he is in Vegas right now. Coming off OTAs or whatever, I'm not thrilled. But listen to what the guy just said. I have no problem with Gronk being there. But Manziel, my God, why is he
being with Manziel?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, really?
Yeah.
Like, He's like a pariah. You can't be with him. I don't know. There was the whole thing on ESPN yesterday. They were doing. They weren't even talking about the fact that Gronk was there, which was to me really ironic.
That's a story in itself,
right? I mean, the summer of Gronk. We figured this is kicking it off, and now all of a sudden it goes from that to.
I really do hope Manziel does well.
Manziel was getting
killed. Be better with him in it.
And they had Herm Edwards and Mark Brunell on ESPN and. Herm Edwards was talking, and I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't even remember what he was saying because half the time I don't even understand what his point is. I mean, he says things
in
a very entertaining way. I like listening to him talk because he's sort of entertaining.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what his point is half the time. Now, remember that now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what he's talking about. Brunell was up in arms. Like, how can this kid be in Las Vegas? Doesn't he have a playbook to learn and all the old school football thing? And I get that. If I were a Cleveland Brown fan, I would want him. You know, sort of staying out of that limelight right now.
Yep.
You know, get yourself up to speed. But so we don't care that Gronk was there, but the fact that Manziel was there, that's an atrocity. I don't want either one of them there, to be honest with you. But it's the offseason. What do these guys, you know, let them go out
holiday,
and do something.
Long holiday weekend, yeah.
There was some babes there, too. Did you happen to see that picture?
No.
They've been showing it all up
on NFL Network, they're showing Manziel at his camp, and underneath it has fearful friendship. I wonder if that's what they're referring to.
So he Gronk. Manziel has a camp?
No, at his OTA.
Okay.
Gene in Daytona, please stop saying Tom is in decline. His stats might be, but not Tom. Look at Tom's stats during the Super Bowl wins, and you will see no difference in his stats from now. Bill is getting back to what has worked in the past by putting less on Tom's shoulders and going more with a strong defense.
People are focusing too much on stats. Paul and I are not talking about stats. Stats are meaningless when it comes to this.
I'm not breaking it down with stats, but I also would say I'm not going back 10 years ago. It was a different game then. Stats are different now. There's a different threshold of success. And so if you wanted to look at numbers, but that's not really
what we're talking about at all.
And I've stated many, many times, the number one overall factor to me in his quote-unquote decline has the supporting cast is not there. He doesn't have the receivers. If Gronk isn't out there, he doesn't have guys that he can rely on.
Couple turkey emailers helping out Larry. VI Strippers says from this is from Archery Forum. He says that turkeys lay down all the time, especially as the weather warms. But Gene in Daytona says, I was just listening to that guy about the turkeys, and guess what? One just walked by my back window. Do you think there is some kind of epidemic going on? Speaking of turkeys, where is Big Head today? He hasn't returned. He'll be in Thursday for sure. Let's see. Scott in the UK, guys at PFW, it's been nice without Andy for a while,
yeah.
Although it'll be good to have him back. Paul, no. You're the best and proved it last show. You guys were talking about Paul's temper in Babies R Us, and the background I heard Paul mutter, ugly bitch. Radio Gold right there. Love the yes. show. Purchase the app. Thanks and peace.
I missed that part, Paul.
Yeah.
Snuck that one in there.
It was for, you know. There was a purpose behind that.
Humor. Yeah.
Steve says...
But it is nice when Andy's not here and we all get to talk.
Steve says, yeah. God bless Larry, but he was wrong. Walden Woods is the area that surrounds Walden Pond, and there is an associated project to preserve the land, literature, and legacy of Henry Davis Thoreau through conservation, education, research, and advocacy, which was founded by recording artist Don Henley. What we have learned from today's show is clearly Andy is the epicenter for arguments. It could be.
Well, Paul can start a good one every now and then.
Oh, sure.
I can start an argument. I just haven't had anything that's...
yeah, nothing's, you know...
You guys haven't said anything ridiculous. Good for you guys. Yeah. You guys are having a good show.
Yeah, thank you.
Just looking at emails.
Scanning, yeah. Anybody on the Ace Ticket hotline?
I got in an argument with my brother yesterday that was so stupid, I forgot. By like 5 minutes in, I forgot what we were even arguing about. It was like Fred. Fred, it was
had
a little like
Northeastern.
You. It was like, right, at the end. I have no idea. That's where I learned it from. Rich.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dwayne's in Boston. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right. So I have 2 points. First, I really like the Patriots draft this year because they got a lot of players in the offensive line. And, of course, an impact player on the defensive line. And running backs. I mean, as good as Vereen and Ridley are, you want to see them have some competition going into the camp. And
that's my favorite pick, Dwayne, by the way. James White was my favorite pick.
If the Patriots can get back to running the ball, then you don't have to worry about how good Brady will be late into his 40s. He can kind of play that Elway role. Like, for instance, if Brady had someone like an Adrian Peterson or even a Johnson, who was in Tennessee from last year.
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
But if that caliber, it would take a whole lot of pressure off of the offense.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. I guess I can't make my argument as strongly as I used to because Seattle just won the Super Bowl. But I'll be curious to see if you can continue to win that way.
Basically, if the only game that Brady would have to win is the Super Bowl, and you don't need him to win, you know, the divisional round and the AFC Championship, and then in the Super Bowl, that's too much on the quarterback. And I think you saw that's what happened to Denver last year. They relied so much on him. But and speaking of which, Aqib Talib just had a quote to Tom Curran saying that. Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. What do you think about that, Dwayne?
Just so you know, I saw this with Michael Silver on NFL.com. He was laughing about it, called Tom Brady his homie, and said, I got to go with Peyton Manning. I'm on that team now.
Right.
That was him picking Peyton Manning over Tom Brady.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so it's more of like a joking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, he might think that Peyton Manning is better.
I see.
But he was sort of like, you know, come on, I'm on the Broncos.
Oh, man, you know, I was kind of hoping that he had said it, you know, with the tone of...
On our bulletin board, it will be that
Now,
way.
Listen, I don't know, maybe there's something else out there, but that's what he said on NFL.com. Michael Silver, I think, was... He was really weird in that. Did you see any of that?
No.
Talib?
Yeah. I mean, they were asking him questions. He was answering totally different things. Like, they asked him a question about... they asked him a question about something... Totally unrelated, and he said that him and Wes were good, and that there was nothing malicious about what Wes did, and like that wasn't the question. It was really strange.
Huh. You want to get high?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got it, Dwayne.
All right, thanks, Dwayne. JD in New York City, first congrats to Andy. The Tufts men's lacrosse team won the Division III national championship this past weekend. That's true.
Wow.
I'm roughly the same age as Big Head and played lacrosse at Middlebury back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. We usually beat Tufts by 10 to 12 goals in those days, so it's a pretty remarkable improvement for that program over the past 12 years, similar to the Patriots from the 90s turning into the organization we enjoy now. That leads to my second point. I want to voice a bit of dissatisfaction with the organization. I was loving the off-season interviews you guys were doing with players earlier, but I knew they were done the moment Vereen was somewhat candid about his wrist. Isn't there a way to have these interviews resume if you guys promised not to ask about injuries? The fans want to know more about these guys, and it just seemed foolish to punish the most loyal of us because of an inconsequential state secret was revealed. Well, I agree with you, JD. Why don't you send your email to pr@patriots.com? Seriously, let them know that you're disappointed that, you know, seemingly the interviews got you know, stopped. So
yeah, I just don't want to really not be able to ask anything. If we're gonna do them,
yeah,
I want
to
do them.
I think there's like, plenty
I don't
to
think
ask.
We, I don't think we have. I don't think we have to ask. You know, all these like big tough guy questions.
No.
That's not what we're about. We're trying to make it like lighthearted and sort of laid back and entertaining. But when there's, you know, a guy coming off an injury, we need to be able to ask him how that's going.
Sure.
And if we can't do that, I don't really see the need.
Well, I think this, I would still do it. If that was the rule.
I know,
if,
you guys, you love the players.
If that
I don't
was
think
the
they
rule,
have, I don't think they, in general,
still,
have much
I
to offer.
I still think we can have a good interview, you know, bring the player closer to the fans, talk about whatever. I just think it's, you know, the fans like it, so why not do what fans want?
And then fans will complain, oh, you guys didn't ask about the injury.
Some exactly. might. Some might, but some will
yeah,
also
most
enjoy
of them.
It. No, not most of them.
I would.
Not most of them. I think, you know, and, we,
like,
can, and we can hear right now.
If I want
now.
That, I'll listen to EEI.
Yeah.
No, they don't have the same rapport we have. It's much better when they're here. Let's see. Eric writes in from Scottsdale, Arizona. First time.
Just so you know, I could have gotten into an argument about that.
Yeah.
But I chose to.
I've been listening to you guys for
what
years.
What I would have said was
I'm originally from Brookline, Mass., but moved to Arizona 20 years ago. The Patriots fan club here in Arizona is one of the largest. We know that well. I've been told it would be really great to see my Patriots in the Super Bowl this year in Arizona. That said, my question is this: assuming we are at least somewhat healthy on both sides of the ball, at least 50% of our new acquisitions are performing as we hoped, and we have Gronk. Do you think we have a reasonable chance at defeating a team like the Seahawks?
Yes.
I ask because we showed we could beat the Broncos when mostly healthy. When we faced them in the AFC Championship, we were not as healthy and got owned. Then the most healthy Broncos got mercilessly pounded by the Seahawks. Injuries happened to all teams, and I had hoped the Patriots would show the same kind of grit in the AFC Championship game as they did to get there. However, I foresaw the outcome playing out as it did. I realize that a lot depends on X factors such as rookie players contributing, Dobson stepping up, Amendola staying on the field and being effective, having Gronk, and the list goes on. I think we could beat them, though it would be a dogfight. What do you think?
I think the Patriots could. I mean, the way he posed that question, could they beat? Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
I think the Patriots have made some moves that might make them better on paper than they were last year.
Yeah.
So I don't see any reason why they couldn't beat anybody. Now, and would I make them the favorite over a team like Seattle? All things evil, you know, both teams healthy? Probably not. Probably not. But I think they could beat them. Why couldn't they beat them?
It's also tough, as we all know, to repeat as a Super Bowl champ.
Right. Things happen.
I just saw a thing that they put up on ESPN. The last team, the last defense, and I don't know if I read this really quick, so this might not be right, but I thought it was what they put up on a screen. The last team to win a playoff game, the last defending champ to win a playoff game the next season, 2005, Patriots.
To win a playoff game?
Yeah.
Last defending champion
to
team.
To win a game. Wow. Now, the Ravens didn't even make the playoffs last year.
Right. Yeah. Steelers.
Giants didn't make it.
Steelers didn't.
So that's, you know,
interesting.
It is hard. It is hard to defend. Now, I know a lot of teams defend in the NFL. It seems to happen more in the NFL than the other sports, but it's hard. It's hard to make those runs.
Dan from Pennsylvania, what's up? Been listening for maybe 5 years on and off. Great stuff. And I especially wanted to thank whichever of you, for whatever reason, I'm thinking it was Eric, ruined the movie Ted for me. Thanks for that. Wow, that was Kevin. That's a blast from the past.
That was Kevin.
Yeah, that was Kevin that ruined the
movie. Yeah, it's too bad that you got that movie ruined for you.
It's a good movie.
But, I mean, did it matter that if it got ruined for you?
No.
I mean, it's it wasn't Inception.
yeah, right.
I don't know how anyone would ruin Inception because you can't explain it. but anyway, my question is, do you think maybe Bill O'Brien would try to pry away Brady? And what would it take for us to deal him? I was thinking Johnson in a second-round pick at least. Oh,
what,
my God.
This year?
No, not even close.
No, no way.
You know, you're defeating the purpose of getting Johnson in the first place if you don't have Brady.
Exactly.
This, by all means, is hypothetical.
I can't figure him out.
And by no means would I want this to happen, but as we've seen in the past, every player, no matter how important, can be traded. Keep up the great work. Love the show. What? I mean, every player has a price. I get that, including Tom Brady. But, I mean, for me to give up Brady right now, I mean, it would have to be a really bad team and their first-round pick for the next 5 years. Some crazy thing like that.
You wouldn't do it for two ones? I'd do it for two ones.
You would do it for two ones? Yeah. Like, not in the same year, but a 15 and a 16?
No.
Some teams might have two ones.
No, I don't want two in the same year. I want two different ones.
You do that right now for Brady?
No, would I do it right now?
Yeah.
Probably not.
I just couldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
Probably not right now because I think they can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But if I didn't think they could win a Super Bowl, yes. Yeah. I think that's what I would give.
Is there a price right now that you would give up Tom Brady for right now?
No. Because I think they can win a Super Bowl.
They're close. Yeah, they're too close.
That's why I didn't like the second round pick, but we don't have to get back to that.
So.
It is the last 10 minutes of the show, so this is about the time, though, when that argument would,
If I felt. If I felt like they really legitimately didn't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, then I would have no problem trading Brady for two ones. He'll be 37. So let's say they go through this season right now.
Yep.
And they go, 12-4. Right. Just to pick a number that they seem to go every year.
Right.
And instead of the AFC Championship game, they get outclassed in the division round. Mm-hmm.
Baltimore that year.
Or last year to Denver in the AFC Championship game happens to somebody else in the Cincinnati. Manhandles them in the division round. The following year, I would be interested. Depending on what my evaluation was of
why they got manhandled.
Of Garoppolo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would definitely. I think two first-round picks is a lot. And I think that. You could do that. Now, I don't expect that to happen because I think Brady's going to continue, as I've said, why I don't really like the Garoppolo pick in the first place. I think Brady's going to continue to be a viable championship-level quarterback for you for the next few years.
Okay. Eduardo from Brazil, great show, but I still would really like to hear your thoughts on the questions I sent in my previous email, which we didn't read, I guess. I agree.
I love when Fred gets chastised.
I agree with you guys regarding Mallett. Don't see much value there, nor can imagine a reason why a team would trade for him. So in light of all this Andre Johnson rumor, what do you think about trading Amendola and a 2015 second or third round pick for Johnson? You can throw Mallett in for all I care. I believe this could be an interesting scenario for both teams. The Texans would get a productive receiver, regardless of his injury track record. He can still be productive.
No, he can't be.
And the Patriots would get a real number one big receiver, while the cap hit would be reduced by trading Amendola. No, it wouldn't be. You wouldn't reduce Amendola's cap hit.
I think he costs the same whether you keep him or not.
Right, and you'd have to pay Andre Johnson big money. Two.
Well, I would assume that they would redo that.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why, if you thought he was productive, why would you be looking to trade him? You don't think he's productive because you think he's injury prone, so you don't think he's going to be able to be producing for you.
I would do that trade if I was a Patriots.
Of course I would.
Yeah,
but
Amendola and Mallett for Andre Johnson?
Yeah, I would do it.
I absolutely would do that.
And a second or third round.
Yes, basically you're trading a second round pick for Johnson. That's the trade.
Right.
Because you're not giving up anything to get him.
Right.
I don't think Billy O makes that
trade. But what I'm saying is people want to throw Amendola into the trade because they don't think that he can stay healthy. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, Houston's not picking up a productive receiver.
But you can also make the argument, I'll throw Amendola. Even if I assume he's going to be healthy, I got a lot of guys like that on my team. I don't have a guy like Andre Johnson.
But fans don't want to get rid – if they thought Amendola could stay healthy, they wouldn't want to get rid of him.
I'm not so sure. I think that that type of production I can get elsewhere. But I can't get Andre Johnson type production.
What type of production?
You know, the slot, short gain type of receiver.
But, like, how much production?
Like Welker, like numbers?
Yeah, 800 yards, you know, in a season.
Like Edelman had last year?
Well, yeah.
So like Amendola did last year.
Or like Edelman. What do you mean like Amendola did last
year? What do you get, like 650 yards?
Yeah, I can get that, but I can get more meaningful production from
but
a guy like
Andre
Johnson.
But what I'm saying, if he can stay healthy and be on the field all year, I think you're looking more than that.
Yeah.
I don't think he can give you more than that. I think his track record speaks for itself. So why would Houston want to give up Andre Johnson for that? Is my point.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Andre Johnson's not happy, you know.
Okay, he's not happy. Why do I want to give up my guy who's not happy for nothing in return? Because well, we're the Patriots.
Second round,
they should want to help us out.
Right? You know, they get a lot for it.
I got around to it. It's a little late, but I got around to it.
This is still Eduardo. I'm overall okay with the moves the Patriots have made so far, especially regarding Revis and Browner. However, I still have major concerns on our defense, subpar passing rush capabilities, highly questionable safeties, and our apparent inability to get a stop at third and long. How do you guys think they will address those issues? I don't believe that just adding Will Smith and Easley will do the trick, and I still don't see a decent number one safety. I think they might add Gregory back for depth, but still not sure about a number one.
If they wanted Gregory for depth, they wouldn't have let him go in the first place.
I think adding Revis helps you on third and long, right?
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. I would hope so, too, yeah.
And Browner, you know, assuming...
Eventually.
Eventually when he plays.
I'm not sure about him, but Revis is better than Tlaib, and, you know, now you have him. You should be better. Your secondary should be better. And I think the combination of Browner and Dennard and Arrington and Ryan, you should be deeper on the other side. You should be better. Your secondary should be better, even if you can't find a solution at safety.
Mark says, I watched the three Super Bowl shows on NFL Network this weekend. Tom may or may not be declining, but the one thing where the Patriots are different from now versus the dynasty years is they lack playmakers. In the good old days, there was always someone to step up at the most crucial moment to either keep a Patriots drive going or defensively making a play to stop another team's momentum. Give me playmakers, and Tom doesn't need to be perfect.
Okay? Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
I think defensively especially, I think they used to come up with big plays more often than not. And maybe Revis is that guy.
Yeah, I think that's the mark of all championship teams. You know, guys step up. Alex writes in, the Patriots already had a pretty decent core of defensive players, injuries aside, coming into this offseason. And in my opinion, this offseason, they added talent to an already talented roster. What do you guys think is the best worst-case scenario for the defense this year compared to the rest of the league? Will they be a top 15 unit, top 10, or even top 5? Where is their ceiling right now on paper? With the addition of Easley, the interior D-line looks like it might be a force to be reckoned with. If Wilfork can return to form and interior pass rushers like Will Smith and Armin Armstead can make an impact, could we see a defense that can really wreak havoc inside like the Jets or the Lions? Well, Will Smith's outside, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's an outside guy.
Armstead's inside if he ever plays.
Yeah.
they
just have – yeah, I mean
– same thing with Easley. We don't know how he's going to be this year.
All these guys who are either coming back from an injury or unproven – I mean,
but they can be top five. They have the capability to be top five.
In what?
In defense overall?
Well, yeah, overall defense. I think they can.
They might.
Maybe top 10.
I would be surprised.
I'd be surprised if it's that high, but top 10 would be the best case scenario.
I don't. It's one of those things, like, I need to watch it. I mean, I think you're right, Fred. I think they could be statistically, they could be. They could be good.
Sure.
They have been, statistically.
Yeah, but that's...
Not overall.
That could be deceiving.
Points allowed.
They've been very good.
Which is the name of the game. I know.
And I mean, I watch them. I don't think they play very good defense, but they have a suffocating offense that strangles the life out of the other team.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have that this year. I don't know. I think they will because I think Brady's here. I think Gronk will play. I think they're going to be pretty good offensively, and that might dictate the way games are played again. They also play in a division with no quarterbacks, so that's six freebies that the other team's not going to score a lot of points. Makes things easier.
Marcel writes in, or as Big Head calls me, Sven, it's nice that Big Head is gone so we could all have a good talk. What do you guys think is going to play – who is going to play the cornerback next to Revis? Is it going to be Browner or Dennard? I think Dennard has a really good potential, and Browner taking his starting spot might hinder his development, and that is worrying me. What do you guys think?
It'll be Dennard in week one, assuming everyone's healthy, because Dennard, Browner won't be available. But I'd like to think that Browner is a better player. I have to see him consistently and in this defense, but I'd like to think it's going to be.
It'll be completely personnel driven.
And Brown. Well, that very well could be, Fred.
I think when teams spread them out, I think you could see both of them on the field with Dennard maybe, taking the smaller guy.
Maybe,
and
but,
Browner
who's,
on the
but who's the starter?
I think it's Browner.
I think it might be Dennard. I think it might be Dennard with Browner coming in because of a matchup thing.
I'm curious to see what Browner is. I don't know a tremendous amount about Browner other than that Seattle evidently deemed him expendable. And they felt like they got better when he got suspended. So I'm kind of curious to see just how good he is. And you mentioned when Browner won't be available early. I'd be interested to see if Dennard's available early.
Well, yeah.
Who knows if something ends up happening with that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the league have to kind of tell the team now if they're thinking of suspending him?
Pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah. You don't wait on that.
I don't know how that works. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's done. He did his time, but for all you know,
they have.
Well, I did, but other teams have. Writers can get access to that stuff. I would think it'd be out there by now. When a suspension.
Here?
No, it wouldn't come from one of our guys, but other writers have access.
Listen, I don't think Dennard's going to get suspended. I'm just bringing it up as a possibility. I think if he were going to be suspended, it would have happened last year. Evidently, they deemed it not that important because he got arrested while on probation and still didn't.
Circumstantial.
I don't care. Clearly, they didn't think it was that important.
So I don't think he'll be suspended. Is my point.
I mean, Ray Rice hasn't been suspended, and no one's told the Ravens.
I think we'd know,
but we think he's going to be suspended, right?
I think, but this happened a year ago.
No, I know, but no one's told the Ravens that we know of.
Well, I don't think they've come down with their verdict.
This is my point,
right? But I think the whole situation with Dennard is over, and what's the wait if the NFL's thinking
I don't think he's going to be suspended. I'm just saying you never know.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be it.
I don't think he should be suspended.
All right, good. Tell Goodell.
He doesn't listen to me.
Oh. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of BFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday. OTAs start today. Big Head will be back, and maybe we'll have more energy. I don't know.
We'll try to have some more arguments.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.